Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show. Hey guys, welcome back to today's episode. How was the long weekend for you? Just to give you a little bit of context, if you follow me on Instagram, you probably saw some of my pictures, but I went hiking on a solo trip. This is my first time ever going hiking by myself to Columbia River Gorge in Oregon. So it was like a 6.5 hour drive for me, but it was so much fun to be able to just go there, explore around, do all the hikes I wanted to do. I just had a really, really good time with that. Okay, so let's dive into today's episode. Today's episode was with Dana Malstoff. She is the CEO and founder of Boss Mom. You have likely heard of this before because she has been killing it with the Boss Mom brand. And I have been following her for a little bit of time now, but she hasn't been in business super long, which is why I wanted to chat with her, because she was able to build quite an incredible business in a very short amount of time. And so she gets to share some of her secrets and lessons learned along the way with us today, which was so awesome. But before we do that, let's dive into the money win for today. This is a super exciting one that comes from Michael in the private Facebook group, Manage Your Money Like a Boss, which again, you're more than welcome to join. And I would love to see your support and your interaction in that group. It's a very, very supportive group, and we like to support each other along our financial journeys. So here's Michael's money win. He said, "Today is a good day. As of today, I'm officially debt-free. Over the last 27 months, I have paid off a little over $53,000 in student and car loans. A weight has truly been lifted off my shoulders. Debt is no joke, people. If you are in debt, I encourage you that you can be done one day. Just keep working at it. Hashtag money win." Michael, I am so stinking proud of you. That is incredible. And you have been really a good example of how hard work and focus can get you amazing results. So congrats to you, my friend. All right, let's get into Dana's story. So Dana's a mother, she's an author, she's a business strategist, podcaster, blind spot reducer, and movement maker. She's the author of Boss Mom, the ultimate guide to raising a business and nurturing your family like a pro. She grew the Boss Mom brand into a six-figure business in less than a year, guys. Incredible stuff. Her Boss Mom movement is all about losing the guilt that comes from raising babies and businesses at the same time, and believes that pursuing our passions and building our dreams while including children in the process is the best way to build thriving businesses and families. Incredible stuff. In this episode, we talk about why following your passion can make you money, the difference between a coach and a strategist, why the inconvenient things tend to yield the best results. We talk about the secret to her explosive growth. I say secret with air quotes. How to build up micro influencers to gain more exposure and visibility in your business. What makes her Boss Mom Retreat so different than any other event, and how she became a master delegator. Guys, I have been incorporating a lot of the stuff that's been talked about in my business from this conversation. And one of my big goals is to build up micro influencers now. I think you're going to really love that concept. I am so excited to introduce you to Dana Malstoff from boss-mom.com. All right, guys, welcome back to another episode. Today I have a very fun and inspiring guest that I've been following for a little while now, Dana Malstoff. Dana, thank you so much for joining. I'm stoked to chat with you.
Oh, thanks. I love that you described me as fun. That's part of my my personal and brand identity. So I like that that shows.
It totally shows. And we've never met before. So for me to be able to pick up on that, that's some pretty sweet branding that we might chat about in a little bit. But
yes. Yeah. Since you can't see me, I'm a like cute t-shirt, big party earrings kind of gal. Like casual, but dance party all the way.
That's right. It's like when you have the tux top, you got your blazer and then you're in your sweatpants down below, you know?
Yeah. Well, or I wear my pajama pants with high heels. Cause that way I'm woman on the bottom, mom on the rest.
You are a rock star. You got to do what you got to do. So Dana, how do you describe yourself, or how do you introduce yourself to strangers or people that you've never met?
Yeah. Gosh, I will say, honestly, it depends who they are and what situation I'm in. I have like, everybody says they've got their elevator pitch, but I have like a whole like arsenal of ways I can approach it depending on what I think the person I'm talking to is going to resonate with. But most often, you know, the easy answer is I help mom entrepreneurs start businesses. But the more real answer is that I help moms show their children that following our passions can be financially rewarding.
Woo.
Like that's it. When our children see that I can do what I love and actually make money at it, actually live by that, not have a job and not have my side hustle be the thing that I love, but have my job be the thing that I love, like work. I help people realize that work's not a negative word and help our children to see that. Like that's the passion. Cause I'm a terrible teacher of children. I was not born to teach children. I'm in awe of people that can teach children, but I can teach adults. I'm really good at that. So if I can teach parents to teach their kids the things that I think are important, that's the best way for me to help future generations.
I think that makes sense too, but how in the heck did you come up with that? Like, how did you realize that that's what your calling was or that's what you were good at?
Well, I love to talk. it's so funny. We're going to be doing a podcast episode. I don't know when this airs, but we'll be doing a podcast episode on the Boss Mom podcast. That's all about how do you pick what your title is in your business, right? Which is because I've grappled with, whether I'm a coach or a strategist. And I have come to this realization that I'm a strategist. A coach gives you the space to come to your own answers. And a strategist gives you answers. They're the brainstorming buddy. They're the narrowing it down. They're the like, okay, here's what you should do. Let's do this. Let's implement. Let's take action. So, and that's how I realized the teaching component is I'm decisive. I love to create content. I'm very visual about things. And I'm decisive about saying, here's what we should do. Let's implement that. And you have to be really confident about your decisions in order to help other people make decisions. And that's when I knew, oh, I can help other women take action and be decisive in these areas where we feel really murky about our decisions. Like, oh, am I going to be a good mom and love my kids if I also want to do this other thing? Mm-hmm. And the answer is yes. Yes. I'm not a coach. I'm a consultant. Yes, you could do both things. Like, how am I going to do that? Let me show you. So a lot of what I do is very specific to parents because we have to run our businesses differently. We have to run our lives differently. Mm-hmm. You know, our schedules are different, like how we react, our priorities, and how quickly those need to shift because we are like our lives do revolve in some ways around our kids. Mm-hmm. And the main thing we want to make sure we teach not just moms, but everybody who's a parent is that there's so much of our lives that have to revolve around our kids that we should be massively proactive to make sure all of our lives don't revolve around our kids.
Ooh, I think that's pretty deep stuff. And it seems like society, for women especially, is so harsh on moms. And so I think that this is a cool approach where you're giving moms permission to follow their dreams, chase their dreams, but also telling them you're not a bad mom if you want to do this. It's okay. And so I think that's a really cool way to go.
Well, honestly, think about it this way. Having kids is inconvenient for parents, so it's also inconvenient for everybody else. And and your kids love you, but other people don't see that. So while we all want to go around going, it's so adorable that you have kids and kids are amazing and they're the future. You know, I've been at a director level at my last job where a girl on my team said, hey, I'm pregnant. And it was before I had kids. And it was massively inconvenient. Like, yay, I'm so excited. You're bringing life into the world. I have to replace you for 3 months. I have to figure out how I'm going to offload all your projects. We have to pay you and pay them. It's not actually convenient for anybody to have children. Like, that's why they make them so cute. So, you know, it's not financially easy. It's not emotionally easy. And so I totally get it that employers go and they look at people that have kids and moms are the ones that are usually the ones that take on that role of guardian is it's inconvenient. You know, you have to leave work early when your kid's sick, you know, so it's not just when one person's sick, there are many people that could possibly be sick. So the odds that you're out more, you know, you care about them more than your job most likely. So it's like, I totally get it. And I feel bad for employers because the way the system works now, they make it even more inconvenient from a financial standpoint for businesses, for people to go off and have children. And if we shifted the way our society works, and I can create more opportunities for women and moms to have online businesses where they make money, mm-hmm. but they don't have to put that burden on an employer, because it is like, I think we should have babies all the time, but it is burdensome for employers to have women who have babies. Like it's just a fact of life. But we shouldn't feel bad about it. We're like, yeah, it is convenient. It's convenient for me too, to be pregnant for 9 months and to pop out a baby and then have to heal and then try and find my femininity again and to be married and to then raise those children and make sure they become good people and don't kill themselves or don't kill us or, you know, like all of those things. Yeah. That's convenient for me, like inconvenient for me too. So, if we all just accept that children are inconvenient all the time,
I'm done.
Then we'd stop feeling so bad about other people like being put out by our children and just be like, yeah, they are. They're inconvenient. Let's get over it and let's start creating a world where we just solve the problem, right. Which is I'm gonna own it myself. I'm gonna own my own business. I'm gonna do my own thing. I'm gonna make my own money. And then that way you don't have to worry about it. So you can thank me later.
That's so awesome.
That was my rant. That was a total
rant. I love it. It's so funny. Yeah, kids are inconvenient. They're a pain in the butt. They really are. I love it. I grew up in a family of six, so I get it. And that's probably why I don't have kids today, is because they are such a pain.
They are. And they are. And honestly, though, everything that is really valuable is. Like, being married is massively inconvenient most of the time. You know what I mean? Like I love my husband and he loves me and we have an amazing relationship, but I have to live with somebody else in a house. Like, I can't do whatever I want. And when he does things that he doesn't realize affects me, like those things, you know, it's like, it's just funny because most things that are worth the effort, like running a business, is inconvenient. Having a podcast is a lot of times inconvenient. Like, anything that requires you to actually do something at some point is going to be inconvenient. Because you're going to wake up one morning, you're going to be like, I don't want to get up at 5 and feed my children. I want to sleep until 9. But I don't get to do that because I chose to have children, or I chose to have a job and I have to show up for this podcast, or I have to get that recording done, or I have to pay my bills or pay my team. And so that's it. Like, everything that's good is inconvenient at some point because it requires you to do something, but nothing happens if we don't do anything. Mm-hmm. And since we all have to do things in order to make things flourish and thrive and to make this world turn and to build relationships and make the world better, then we should all just wake up in the morning and realize it's going to be inconvenient at some point. And that's okay.
I love it. So what did you do before Boss Mom?
Oh, so many things that didn't work. What did I do?
I love that.
Yeah. Back in the day, I worked with all startup companies. I did, I love wearing a lot of hats. I'm an experimenter by nature, I think. So I've done marketing, I've done sales. You know, at one point I worked for this cool, like, French company, that had an office in Chicago where we sold VAT consulting services, which is like a European tax. It very not exciting, what? But yeah, random. Then I got into, corporate wellness. And I basically helped build coursework and programs. And then I trained health coaches and I eventually ran a team. I helped, you know, build like the diabetes management program for City of Savannah and part of that team, and doing all these things where we were helping to create healthier cultures. And so then I got heavy into healthy culture in businesses. And right around at that point is when there's just a shift in that business and that ownership of that business. And it didn't seem like a good fit anymore, really, for either of us. And I kind of saw the writing on the wall. And so I just proactively said, hey, I'll resign. You guys find your new people. And, I still have good relationships with a lot of those people for doing that, which is awesome. And I basically said, there's one business that was in this sort of online marketing that I really liked in Columbus, Ohio, where I was at the time. And I told my husband, if I get this job, I'll stay in corporate America. And if I don't, I'm going to start my own business. My husband was like, okay. And it was between me and another guy. And they called me up and they were like, this other guy had this experience that you don't, so we're going to go with him. But we absolutely loved you. And we wished you could, like, we wish you were here working with us, but we don't have a spot for you. And I was like, yes, but if I were a consultant, you don't have to hire me full time. You just hire me for projects. And that's when my brain finally switched and was like, wait, I want to, it's funny. I told a friend recently, I have a husband, so I have to be you know, so I'm monogamous. I don't have to be. I'm monogamous in my relationships. So I like the fact that being a consultant allows me to kind of whore around in business. I can have multiple partners and, you know, collaborators and clients and work with businesses. I don't have to be monogamous in all areas of my life. And I love that consulting allows me to do that.
To live a little.
Yeah.
That's right. So then you started Boss Mom. Was that shortly after that when you didn't get the corporate job? Is that how you? No,
I quit my job. We went out and partied that night with everybody from the office to celebrate, you know, new freedom. And I immediately got pregnant. And so I basically say within the first 24 hours, I was a business owner and a mom at the same time. Crazy. And then the 9 months of like, you know, I'm trying to figure out my brand and a business name and like a website. And I did not know online. From a like an online business owning space, I knew online tools. So that first 9 months was just learning, a total learning. Had my son and realized I didn't want to be a stay at home mom, which I kind of already knew. Went through this whole guilt of that, and basically, when he was 5 months old, I was still did not have a successful business. Was trying to figure out what on earth I was really doing. Sort of had these like consulting gigs here and there, and then we moved out to San Diego so I could be closer to my family, and that's when I started to connect better with. There's a much better entrepreneurial space here in San Diego, and from there, I started rolling. I still didn't have Boss Mom. But I I'm a content strategist, so I'd help people make coursework, launch coursework, and got into a mastermind group. And the mastermind group, there was a book coach there. He's Azul Taronis, who actually helped Pat Flynn was on his team for his book.
Oh, cool.
But my book was first, you know, so I feel pretty snappy. Just saying. And so we were mapping out. I thought I was going to write a book about content strategy. And what ended up coming out was this mom guilt and just being like, why do we have it? Let's get rid of it. Like, this is dumb. This is dumb that we feel bad about doing multiple things. Like, we all had lives before we had babies. Why do we think we have babies? And then there was nothing else. It's like your husband thinking you never date or slept with anybody before him, which I mean, kudos to you if your husband's the only person you've ever been with. But most people were out dating because it took you a long time to meet your husband. So it's the same thing. And so I wrote Boss Mom and everybody got so excited about it that we were like, okay, well, we should have a Facebook group and we should probably start a podcast and then we should write a, you know, like have group programs. And now I just Boss Mom the crap out of everything.
Well, so that's the thing that I've been so fascinated with is you've been doing this. Is it 3 years or 4 years now?
Boss Mom is only a year and a half old.
You've got to be freaking kidding me. So that's the piece where I'm like, holy crap. You're hustling for one thing. You found a true area in the market that needed to be filled because clearly that wasn't really happening or not well enough to grow as much as you have in a year and a half. So I want to dive into that significantly of your growth because you're okay. I had to stalk you a little bit. 20,000 people in your Facebook group. Like, what the crap in less than a year and a half. And so I'm looking at all of this stuff. I'm like, wow, you are doing amazing. So how did you get to that point?
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's a ton of mom entrepreneur groups. I'm not the only one, but I'm now the biggest one that I'm aware of. And there's a couple of reasons why I think that is. Focus. I get focused on what I want. It doesn't mean I don't have multiple projects, but I have a goal and everything I do has to meet those goals. And my goal wasn't to get 20,000 people in the group. And my goal wasn't like I had, my goals were about the kind of systems I was going to create and the kind of efficiency in my business I was going to create that would allow me to expand out my ability to launch multiple things. So I do think the kinds of goals that you create and the kind of focus you create is important, but also there's two really big things. One, me talking to you, like I was out in the world everywhere. I got on every podcast I could get on. I talked with everybody. I literally talked with my babysitter and the guy at the grocery store and I'm not kidding. And one of the girls on my team, it's funny because I, you know, I didn't even interview her. My group went out and we needed somebody to help us with cease and desist so that I wouldn't have to do it because it was giving me an ulcer. And she, you know, they found, narrowed it down. They found this one person. They're like, this girl, Tara, you're going to love her. It's going to be, this is it. And I get her, you know, I get her on the phone. And it turns out my babysitter recommended her into our group because they were in the military together. She's over in Florida. She's not even here in San Diego. And so she got in the group, and then when she saw, and now she's on my team. And so those things are like, you have no idea who is going to either be or know somebody who is your ideal client. And so if you aren't talking about it every second of the day, and except for your, like your husband and your family, like give them a break for a moment. But if you're not bringing it up and you're not making it a part of who you are and your actual daily lexicon, then you're missing out on opportunities, because every single person that knows is another person that can tell another person, can tell another person. So visibility for me is paramount. It is getting out, getting featured, getting connected. And then the second part to that is I believe the true importance of becoming an influencer is to create micro influencers. Is it my job as an influencer is not to influence people, it's to create other influencers. Mm-hmm. And that's my personal belief. So I drop names all the time. I help people all the time. Like, I want everybody to succeed, and I want them to become influencers in their own space, in their own right, with their own stories. And I foster that as much as humanly possible. And I think you can see that in our group. Like, it's not just about we're moms and we're getting rid of guilt. It's like, hey, all of your stories matter. Let's find out how to share them in a way that actually grows everybody. Mm-hmm. Because it's, I refer to it as like a movement MLM, right? Like a multi-level marketing. So I create influence under me, and then they create influencers under them. And I create this sort of perpetual influencers. And if everybody rises up and in their importance and their clout in the community, I go up too. Mm-hmm. And so it creates this lasting, like cyclical growth that happens. And so I can continue to run my business, and it naturally continues to grow because everybody's disseminating information. When someone else gets to be at this next level, they're like, and they get on a podcast, they're like, amazing, all these things. Yeah, Dan, I'm also, I did this thing over here with Boss Mom, and I'm a part of Boss Mom, or yeah, I found this over here at Boss Mom, or I'm going to feature them here. And then other people do my work for me. And I think that's that, and then making sure I've created a space that's actually helpful for people.
I love that.
So it's not just a movement.
How do you build up other people, the micro influencer piece? Because that's something that I think everybody should be at least trying to do more so of. How do you start doing that?
Well, I have lots of conversations with people, right? I do a lot of collaborations. Like, how can we be helpful for each other? We do a lot of, like, you and me, we're on a podcast, we're talking about this, we're getting to know each other through our stories. And then at the end, when we turn off recording, be like, how can I be helpful for you? Like, mm-hmm. is there someone I can connect you with? So the just being a connector is important. And the only way you can be a connector is to know people. So if you're sitting in your home all by yourself and all you're doing is hanging out on social media, like, you have to have conversations with people. You have to connect with people in order to be a connector. So that's the first thing, is networking has to be part of what you're doing, but purposeful networking. Like, don't just go show up to every conference there is and get on every, you know, coffee chat you could get on. Understand what the purpose is. And there's a lot of times where I'll look and I'll be like, wow, I don't have anybody. Someone keeps asking me about this kind of person, and I don't really have that person. I'm going to go out and find me a person that does this thing and does it really well. And I start making connections. Or if I have, you know, I've got multiple people that I know that are really good at Facebook ads, and like, okay, I want to build all of these people up, but how can I figure out what's different? Because they're each going to attract different people in different ways. So how can I understand that? Maybe give them some clarity about their differentiation in the market so I can help do that. And then I mention them all the time. Like, I will constantly mention people on podcasts and out to other people and make connections and to give them more clout, to give them, and they're all people that I know. So I'm not just throwing names out I don't trust. Because it has to be associated with me. And if I start to really get excited and talk about somebody and then they don't deliver, I pull back and I don't talk about them anymore. And then I, you know, get on Voxer and I'm like, what the hell? Like, put your act together, because you're an awesome person and you're not delivering. So honesty and all those things are true. But yeah, you got it. Like, business is people. If you don't actually like people, then owning your own business is going to be really hard.
Oh, damn near impossible. I mean, even if you don't own your own business, I'm thinking of some of the listeners I know are like, I'm pretty happy in my corporate gig. I like the cube life and good for them. But this is still extremely relevant. You still have to be able to build other people up too, even if you're a 9-to-5 kind of person.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing too. I think that we want to own our own accolades. Like, right. Like we succeed in things and we want everybody, well, it depends on what your love language is, but you know, I like being recognized for sure. My husband doesn't actually, it's interesting. He doesn't, he finds that a lot of pressure to be like recognized. He would rather an act of service be help make his job easier or a back end commissions thing or something like that. Nice. But for most people, like we want to receive recognition for what we do, but we have to recognize that even though it like feels awkward to us to get, to give away our recognition, that by sharing that and we build other people up, that they will reciprocate. And if we find that that doesn't happen, then you just don't do that anymore with that particular person. But if you're in a corporate setting, the more that you're in meetings going, yeah, so-and-so did a really great job of this. I would love it if we collaborated more here. You know what so-and-so was saying? And it made my mind think, like, for instance, we're adding something to the Boss Mom retreat that is like blowing my mind. And we're going to add an implementation day. So you can upsell. It's like a nominal fee. And on the third day, if you want to stay, it's not required, but if you want to stay, we're not going to have speakers. We're not going to have anything, but we're going to facilitate actually executing. We're going to have places where you can record for your course. We're going to have like help if you need extra training or thoughts or ideas on, you know, calling people or scripts or writing, whatever. And I didn't think of that on my own. Like Natalie Gingrich, who is my project manager, mentioned what people really want is they want implementation. And we were talking about a next day thing. And I was like, oh my gosh. And she's like, what if we had a small group? And I was like, screw a small group. Everybody's invited. It's going to be amazing. That idea was ours. You know, and it's my business. So I'm the one that's going to implement that particular thing. But I give her credit absolutely and 100% all the time, every day, because she helped me get to that space. Mm-hmm. And so the more that we recognize other people for even the smallest thing that they help me do, like even coaches where I feel like I didn't, like it was good for this thing, but it wasn't good for everything. I recognize them for that small thing. Like you don't have to go out and say, this person's amazing at everything they ever did. And everything's awesome. You say they helped me with this problem, solve this thing. So that the idea is other people will go, I have that problem. I need to solve that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to that person. And they're going to be like, hey, Dana said about you. And then Natalie comes back to me and it's like, I just got 5 clients because you just talked about me. I'm like, that's awesome. And it's this perpetual thing that we don't have to give away all of ourselves and all of our progress and all of our awesome ideas and hand them off as if they're somebody else's. We can share that and share other people's awesomeness in a very specific way. And it ends up being helpful for everybody.
Yeah, spot on. And let's talk about this retreat, because your retreats, from what I've heard, I have not yet attended, so I need to.
You should.
I absolutely should. I think it'd be way too much fun. They are quite the experience. So can you talk about them? Because they're not a typical conference or retreat.
They are not a conference. Yeah, definitely not a conference. So I like to throw parties. So what, you know, actually all the husbands refer to it as Mom's Gone Wild. And we have to actually like legitimately show them, no, we're working on your business, because it just looks like too much fun. But I'm a very experiential person, right? Mm-hmm. I believe that we learn not through just sitting and writing things down. I think we can gain some good clarity that way. But I think we learn by being challenged. I think we learn by being thrown into the deep end in a lot of ways, even if that frightens us to death, right? Mm-hmm. So in the experience of like, we have karaoke at every event. And one, I love karaoke. I've sang since I was a little kid. So, but that's not the reason why. The reason why is because if you can get up on stage and sing somebody else's song, then you can get up on stage and tell your story. Mm-hmm. And we've got to get people past this idea of being scared to be featured, being scared to be on stage, being scared to talk about themselves, being able to sell themselves and pitch themselves. And because that's what builds businesses. I don't know when this comes out. So we'll see. We should have probably announced it by then, but I'm actually bringing somebody in who is going to teach the women on the first day how to tell a joke. And then on the first night, we didn't do this on the last one, but on the first night, we are going to have an open mic stand-up comedy night for the women. And we're going to have raffle prizes based on who will get up and tell their jokes and like get this going of this idea of like, let's stop being scared. You know, we have facilitators at each table because we believe that we don't want people on stage talking to you. We want people sitting next to you talking with you, that your ideas are valid, and that we want people to help facilitate you getting comfortable with your creativity and getting comfortable with your ideas. Because when you hear somebody and they're talking on stage and it all sounds amazing and you write all these notes and you go home so massively over inspired that it's actually like exhausting and depressing. And then you get home and you realize, oh, I live a normal life full of all these things with barely any time to do anything. Anyway, I'm going to look at those pages of notes. I have no idea where to start, no idea what to do. That's not helpful. I mean, it's inspiring, but it's very rarely actually truly helpful. There's only 1% of people in that room that take what they learned and really like run with it. But if we put everybody in tables with a facilitator, and there are very few speakers, but it's meant about like really digging into clarity for you specifically. And that table is curated in a way that is, we're doing the first day based on the where you're at in your business from a timeline perspective. And the second day is based on industry. And we didn't do that the last one either, but we're doing it at this next one. Then all of a sudden, you're having conversations with people who are in similar spaces, and you get what I call proximity mentoring. And proximity mentoring is, you and I are in similar places in our business. So while we may not be experts at this particular thing, we may be one step farther in this particular area. And by sharing our stories with each other about what's happening now, we can learn from each other. And then we can both move forward, because we were a little bit forward in one place and I was a little bit forward in the other. And now we've kind of both moved forward because we've listened to each other. So it's not all about listening to the people on stage. It's about how do we foster listening to each other that's nicely facilitated. And all of that put together not only creates a really, really fun, engaging experience, but it actually gets you to walk away feeling like you've done something.
Right.
You haven't just heard something. You haven't just been inspired by something. You've actually done something. And that's what I think creates the momentum that we need.
I think it's so cool too. And this is the second time you've run this retreat?
Yeah. So the first one was here in San Diego. And then the second one is in North Carolina, which I've never been to, but everybody voted. And we're going to do 2 a year. So we'll do October in the Midwest, East Coast. So we'll probably change locations each time. And then in April, we'll do it in San Diego.
That is so cool. So tell me about the mindset you went into this conference or the retreat with. Was it scary as heck for you? Were you really confident with it? How did that play out?
I've run events before from a corporate standpoint.
Yeah.
And I love speaking. I was meant to be on stage. I have a broadcast journalism degree. So I originally wanted to be a news anchor. So I have I literally paid a crap ton of money to learn how to speak without being worried about it. So I love being on stage. I love people. I'm a performer. Like, I don't mind that at all. And I'm pretty good off the cuff. It's one of my gifts that I'm a quick thinker. Mm-hmm. Actually, if you give me too long to think, then I'll forget things. Very strange in that way. Yeah. And I'm an extrovert, like textbook extrovert. So the more I'm with people, the more energy I get. So people will tell me like, Dana, like 2 full days and then you're gonna do a VIP day before, you're gonna do an implementation day after, like, aren't you gonna be exhausted? It's like, no, I'm gonna be exhausted on the 5th day when I have nobody to give me energy. And I'm like rogue, being like, why won't anybody touch me? I need somebody's powers. Give me my powers. That's an X-Men reference, by the way, for all you non sci-fi people. It was obvious to me, but from a focused business perspective, I knew I had to be a certain place with a certain kind of audience. Mm-hmm. So we didn't launch it until later.
Mm. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So when I thought about like the focus of, I knew my business had to be in a certain place. I knew it had to be in a certain level. And I had to, even though I really wanted to do events, I waited. And so that's a thing I will tell people, like, especially from a financial standpoint, if you want to do something, and I'm notorious for, like, I have to hire people on my team to tell me, no, you can't do that yet. We're not ready. And because I get excited and I'm like, oh, let's do this and let's do this. And then you'll overbook yourself. You'll overextend yourself. And then here's the problem with that. Like, it's not just a financial, it's not just a time, it's an enjoyment factor. Like, when you're going to launch something, you should be able to like marinate in it. You know, in the creation process, in the building excitement process, in the execution process, because there is some learning and there is some joy in that, that you're doing something. And when you rush things too much, you're actually taking away your ability to enjoy your journey. So when they say the journey is what matters, well, yeah, if you're sprinting though, it's kind of hard to recognize the beautiful trees and the flowers around you, right? So I do say that giving a good focus to being like, I'm not ready for this. I have to hit certain milestones. I do a lot of milestone checks in my business to be like, I can't write my next book until this happens. I can't have a big event until this happens. I can't do, you know, this many speaking engagements until this happens. And I require that I meet those milestones. So those milestones become the goal, and the things I really want to do, like the big events, become the prize.
That's cool.
And when I think about it that way, then it gets to be so exciting that I finally reach the level that I can do it, that I enjoy it more. I savor it more. And when you can start savoring your journey more, like, that's when the fun starts to happen.
Yeah, totally with you. I mean, it seems even in my own business, every time that I'm just head down trying to go as fast as I can, trying to hack everything, you know, it's, that's when you miss all the fun. So you're spot on. When you slow down, when you connect with people, you get to learn about their stories, you get to see the everything that's going on, you do appreciate it a lot more.
Mm-hmm. And I think the problem is we all go, no, but I have to have it tomorrow. My website has to be out tomorrow. This has to be done 3 days ago. And I totally get it. I totally get it that we all feel behind. But just remember that most people don't give a crap about your website, whether it's out today or next week. Like obviously deliver on your promises. But also be weary about how much you're promising, because I think we set expectations for ourselves that are much higher than what other people require of us. And we want to give more because we think more is better. And a lot of times more is just more. And so that's the same thing with your time, with your efforts, with your promises, with your engagement, like all those things. Just if you stepped back once and one step and said, I'm going to offer you more of me in this one area instead of diluting my value by offering you all these things, then I think we would all be in a better place.
Spot on. And one of the things that I've appreciated, I've heard your story on another podcast, and it was actually Michael O'Neill's.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
forever ago.
I wear his unemployable shirt all the time.
It's such a great one. So on your interview with him, the thing that really stood out to me that I was like, she gets it. Like this lady is kicking butt, is you are a master delegator. Have you yeah. always been that way?
No, not at all. Actually, in the beginning, I'm broadcast journalism means that I know how to do editing, right? I know how to edit. I know how to talk on, you know, I can write because I have a journalism degree. I can do a lot, and I work with corporate or small companies, so I can wear all the hats. Like I could run my business all by myself and do all the things. Mm-hmm. I would argue with you, it doesn't matter that I can do all those things. My zone of genius is in one particular area. So there are always going to be other people that are better than me in those areas. But I used to think I was an island all the time. And my husband came home and like changed my world, which my husband is this introvert who is amazing and endearing, but he doesn't talk a lot. But he like drops bombs, like total brain ninja bombs on you. Yeah. And he came down one day and he's like, yeah, so I have a feeling, you know, my belief is that, and I think I might have even said this on Michael O'Neill's because it's one of my favorite thing to say, is that if you can make more money in an hour doing what you're good at, then you could pay somebody else to do it for you, then you are losing money in your business. And he would come down and he'd be like, how much money did you lose today? Mm-hmm. And it just got me into this cycle of going, oh my gosh, yeah, I make, you know, at the time, like I make $75 an hour. Like I could pay somebody 20 to do this. Why am I doing it? And I started to build up my team, you know, and now I'm at $300 to $600 an hour, depending on what the project is. And all of a sudden, pretty much everything yeah. costs less than what I could make in an hour if I'm doing what I'm really good at. And so it just, if when you start to get in that mindset, you start to realize that yes, you have to spend money to make money. Guys, that's a fact of life. If I actually am not a massive fan when people say, if you had $500 to, you know, start your business, what would you do? And I'm like, well, great. Let's just make sure we're saying start your business because, you know, 3 months in, you're going to need more than $500 to get your business to run. Like the people that pay $20,000, to get a coach, but then that coach promotes them and connects them to their network. And all of a sudden you're going, I don't understand how that person became known so quickly and did those things. Like, that's because they leveraged relationship. They spent money to go to conferences and to do those things. So I don't believe you can have a business without investing. You should just invest prudently, mm-hmm. you know, but that's the thing where I know it had to be beat into me that I needed to delegate. And then I just got really, really good about, if I did this, could I be doing this other thing? And then I realized what I'm not good at. And what I'm not good at is the details. I can do details. Like, if I had to do a project, sure, I can. I did it the whole first year and I made it work, but once I start getting into the higher levels, you'll realize that you don't, the things that you put off are the things that you have to delegate. Because they're the things that once you start getting to a high enough level of doing the things you really enjoy and you see how you feel when you do those things, you're going to literally avoid the other stuff like a plague, even if they're things that make you money in your business. Those are the things you have to delegate or you will crash and burn. So I do like project management. I have an online business manager who's like my like connected other half, and she runs my email and my calendar and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I have an actual project manager, and both of those people are imperative to making sure that everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing on projects, that we've mapped things out. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a content strategist and a community manager. And then I believe you don't have one person that does everything. Like, find what that person's zone of genius is, mm-hmm. and have them do that. And I would rather have 20 people on my team doing all what they're really great at for the only amount of time I need them to be really great at that one thing, mm-hmm. than have one person that I expect to be a god.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Do you recall the first person that you started to hire and bring on your team? What was that for?
Back to visibility. Danielle and my team, she had read one of the preliminary volunteers to read the Boss Mom book. Then it turns out that she did some VA work. And the very first thing I hired her to do was to find podcasts to get on and pitch me.
Smart.
And then, yeah. And then that's grown and grown and grown. And now she literally, like, we were at a conference. I bring her to conferences with me. And she, you know, I'm up at Starbucks and I'm like thinking about this speech I'm going to give. And the woman's like, what would you like? And I was like, oh, I would. And then a voice behind me is like, she'd like a grande vanilla latte and an oatmeal to go. And she just said, I was like, that is exactly what I wanted. Who? Oh, Danielle.
Like, yes.
Like, that's how much she's like, my husband just emails because he knows she reads my emails. So he's like, hey, Danielle, can you make sure this gets on Dana's calendar? And she's like, yeah, sure.
That is so awesome.
And yeah, so I do believe those roles grow, and the roles in your organization grow because you let them grow. You ask them, what do you enjoy doing? Like, is there anything you're doing right now you don't enjoy doing? And if someone says, yeah, like Danielle used to do my show notes for the podcast, and she's like, I'm not really digging it. I was like, okay, well, find me somebody else to do it. And I put it on her, the ownership and empowerment on her, to find the next person. So I'm not adding work to me if they want to develop. But I constantly ask, how do you want to develop? What do you want to do? What do you want to test out? Where do you want to be? And I don't manage people. I empower people. And if there's anybody on my team that doesn't take well to being empowered, then they don't get to stay on my team for very long.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So before we officially recorded, we were talking a little bit about you started to invest not just in your business, of course you're always doing that, but in yourself, and that you're doing a couple of things that you're really excited about for yourself personally. Can you share what those are?
Yeah. So the big one is I hired a stylist. Mm-hmm. So Natalie Hughes is, so one of my friends, Stacey Tuschel, who has she's building her empire. She's awesome. And I would be like, Stacey, you look amazing all the time. I want to steal all of your clothes. And she'd be like, oh, well, Natalie dressed me. And she just kept saying, Natalie dressed. Oh, Natalie picked this out. And I was like, who is this Natalie? Well, she came to to the Boss Mom retreat. And so I got to meet her and was so excited. And then we connected and talked. And basically she said, hey, I know you're going to speak at these two events. I'm going to, just as a tester, I'm going to help you find the two dresses for these events. And then we'll see. So she like listened to what I needed, sent me these dresses that she picked out. I tried them out, like, and she just nailed it. She nailed it. And so I was like, okay, so I hired her I paid her money. Mm-hmm. And not a tiny amount, you know, it's pretty significant amount, like not crazy, but significant. And she went online, like found exactly like an entire wardrobe for this whole season. And it all got sent to my house. We tried it all on. And it wasn't just about finding me clothes. Like, she taught me how to not just dress, but dress in a way that felt me. She helped me find a style. And my husband to this still doesn't understand why I spent this money. He's like, I don't get it. This is weird. But here's what I'll say. From that, all of a sudden I went and I was going to get all these new clothes. So I purged my closet and got rid of all these things and was really honest about getting rid of things I hadn't worn or didn't really look good on me anyway, got rid of them. So now my closet is cleaner, right? All of a sudden I started doing that to other parts of my house because that felt so good. A lot of purging happened. Mm-hmm. Then because I'm spending money on her, I want to make sure I have these things. So now I have this closet full of clothes. When I walk in, I feel empowered to put on things that look good on me. And I've started to find this style that I have and find my look. And that has made me more, feel more attractive. I make out with my husband more. I go out and I strut more. I'm actually more productive in my business. I'm actually yell at my kids less. I've started to work out more and eat healthier because if I paid a ton of money to have good clothes and have somebody help me dress, I want to make sure they fit tomorrow. And so you think that some of these things that are self-care are somehow maintenance, and some are, like, I shave my legs every once in a while and like I maybe get a massage. But I think the real self-care are the things that actually help you to become more of you. If you can do more things, and maybe that's getting, you know, piano lessons, or maybe that's like learning how to do ballet, or maybe that's, you know, going to some like woman retreat, you know, and dancing blindfold, which I've totally done and is awesome. Those things, like, don't just self-care the things that are maintenance. Self-care the things that help you find more of you, because the more you find you, the more you're going to exude a positiveness out into your family and into the world. And that just has this amazing perpetual ripple that really does make a difference. So I think we should stop thinking about self-care on the surface and really start thinking about self-care in a much deeper way, and you will be happy you did. And it's worth the investment. That she's like the best investment I've made all year.
Yeah, I might have to snag her website, because I'm immediately like, oh, I need that. It would be so helpful.
Honestly, so this is so funny too, because you think of the time, like, you think you have to have these massive ahas, and this is the same thing I say about coaches and events and everything. Like, you're writing down everything. Mm-hmm. And I have a rule when I take notes in an event that I can only write down one sentence. I can only write down one point for each kind of thing that I'm trying to take in, because that's all my brain really needs. I just need the one thing. So for instance, I'm talking with Natalie, we're doing these things, and I never wore belts. Belts, I'm like, weird me out. I don't know why. Some weird thing. So she's like, you wear a belt, it's going to keep your pants up. Like, it's going to, you know, accentuate your waist, because I'm like a beanpole. So I put it on and I'm putting these shirts on, and she's like, I just want you to tuck the front. And it's like this little front tuck. And she teaches me the front tuck, right?
Sweet.
Changed my life. And my husband laughs. But here's the thing, like, it's become my thing.
Right.
And that one tiny point, that one tiny little thing, or that one little thing that someone says that's like changes the way you think about something, that's all you need. You don't need everything to be, it's the same as like more is just more. Like, you only need one thing to change your life. You only need me to one person. You only have to have the few amount of kids you have. Like, you only have to have one business. You only have to have that one book, that one interview, you know, that changes everything. So stop trying for it to be everything, and just grasp onto the one thing that makes change for you. And if the only thing she taught me was how to wear a belt and how to do a front tuck, it's changed my life, and it was worth every penny.
Drop the mic. Yep. Drop the
mic. Yeah. And that's it. And I love it. Like, I never question that value. It can be as tiny can be. Don't ever question its value, because it's those tiny, tiny things that make the difference. I'm pretty sure there's like a Confucius thing about like how powerful a tiny rock can be or something, but
probably
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, I mean, Abraham Lincoln, it's always Confucius or Abe. It's everything. Abraham Lincoln. So you're doing your stylist stuff. That is incredible. Especially if she's doing the shopping for you, you're telling her, hey, look, this is kind of the style I would like. This is how I would dress currently. God, that's so cool, because you don't have to go shopping, for one thing. You don't have to try to find the perfect dress. That is such a pain. I just think it almost feels probably awkward in the very beginning to spend that much money on it. But I love that you mentioned the ripple effects and how critical that is.
Well, she makes me do things that are completely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like that. She doesn't just find me clothes I like. She finds me clothes that make sense, but are still me, but I just didn't realize it. Or I would put a top on and then I would be like, oh, well, these would go with like pearl earrings or something. Right. And she's like, no, you're going to wear those like edgy earrings. And I was like, that feels so wrong to me. And she goes, yeah, because if you wear that outfit, everybody's going to walk up to you and go, that looks like it goes together. And she's like, you want the goal, which I think should be the goal in your business too, in your brand. She goes, you want somebody to walk up to you and go, I don't know why that goes together, but it just works. How did you do that? And that's what I want. People should walk up to your business and go, wow, I don't know what's different about you than everybody else, but there's something there that's just you, that's just unique. And that's sort of how I've like gone into this really cute little t-shirts with the earrings and like a pair of heels. I've morphed into this space where it speaks my brand and it speaks me. And I had to find that. She helps you, you know, she's one of those people that can help you find that. So it becomes more about the edge that you were too scared to have because you didn't know how to make it happen. And that's why you hire business coaches. Business coaches do the same thing for your business. They, if you hire somebody and you're comfortable with the whole experience, then they're not doing their job. Because coaches in any sense are not meant to make you feel comfortable. They're meant to help you grow and expand. And that's the same thing as your muscles. You're working out, your muscles have to tear in order to repair and grow. And that's a painful process. If it's not uncomfortable and painful, then you're not doing it right.
It's true.
I mean, not painful. Like don't, you know what I mean?
Don't, yeah.
Everyone who does fitness is like, don't work out when it's painful, but you know what I'm saying?
You know, I had to do that yesterday and it was painful. Yeah, I had to text my fiance. I'm like, my abs are killing me. And I was doing pull-ups. I'm like, I think I'm dying right now. Like, this is really uncomfortable. Yep. But you're right. It's like, you've got to do things that are not comfortable for you if you want to grow.
It's inconvenient to grow.
Yep.
But it's required if you want to like thrive, I guess would be the word.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. This is so fun. Is there anything else that you're doing that would be considered frivolous or out of the norm for yourself?
Gosh, having someone from like a kind of personal trainer standpoint, business coaches, you know, like mastermind trips with people that are, you're like not paying for those kinds of things. Having a day in your business where you don't do anything business related and you like binge on Netflix every once in a while, like doing nothing, yeah. I think is a big important, you know, thing to do that seems frivolous.
Man.
All
the Netflix and chill. That's a good idea. I need to do that myself. So Dana, this has been a ton of fun and I've had a lot of nuggets and little wisdom that I'm going to carry forward too. But is there anything you want to impart on the listeners before we officially go ways?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I think the best thing is just recognize that like you can go at things from so many different ways. So pick what your end game is and really focus on what it is you want to achieve and connect with tons of other people to help you find their ideas. Clarity is in the doing. So just jump in and do it and make sure you're talking with people and connecting with people because visibility and momentum and growth happens by connections and action.
Beautiful. Thank you. It was so much fun chatting with you, connecting with you. I love your personality. You've got a ton of energy and I really admire what you're doing for moms too.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for letting me rant on all of those topics.
Anytime, anytime. All right, guys, what'd you think? I loved this conversation with Dana. She is such a little rock star, and she really made me want to refocus, re-energize my business, and go back to what matters most, and that's helping other people and building up influencers. I thought that was such a cool message, and I really appreciated her sharing that. The other message that I thought was amazing is, you guys all know, I don't have kids, not yet. Maybe not ever. I'm not really sure yet. But that whole concept of you can still have a family and by you focusing on your business and your career does not mean that you're not a good parent. I love that message. And I think we need to hear that much, much more. So I think that was a very powerful message. If you have kids and you have been feeling guilty because you want to run your own business or focus on your career, forget about it. You can do this stuff and you should, in fact, because that makes you a better example for your kids. Phenomenal message. I had such a great time with this episode. If you enjoyed it, please leave a review and share it with somebody that you think could use this inspiring message today. Thanks so much for listening in, guys. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate all the support. Let's keep this podcast growing like we have been. It's been phenomenal. And until then, I will see you next week for another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast. Bye.